How are you getting on? We're living in a time where there's some challenge, where there are things that could take our peace, where things aren't necessarily stable, living in a time where Thank you, Lord, for all the things that you have given us, for the things that we've given back to you through these bags, through standing orders, and we ask you, Lord, to bless it and multiply it for your work. Amen. We're living in a time where Donald Trump, in one breath, is doing some good things. And some of you think, oh, how dare you say that? But also doing some bad things and some scary things and things actually that you think, that unsettles me. We've got Putin that is maybe stepping towards peace talks, but then do you trust him? And then you've got a war that is silently reported, as in not reported, in the news in Yemen. A famine taking place in Sudan and South Sudan. And all of the things going on around us, and I haven't really mentioned the UK stuff, where during March there are billboards around some of the big cities saying, trust Allah. And an increase in people saying, yeah, I believe not just in voting for Reform UK, and I'm not saying political things about Reform UK, but actually there's an increase in people saying, I want Britain to be for British people, and I will go on riots and things like that. Well, we saw that last summer, didn't we? How are you getting on with all of these things? Things that could rob our peace. Paul writes to a church, a young church in Thessalonica in Greece. Well, he writes quite early on, maybe 50 AD, between 40 and 50 AD. We don't know the precise times. And he says in chapter 4, verse 1, I don't want you to be uninformed. I want you to know what you're going through. So taking a leaf out of Paul's book, I want you to be informed that there are signs in Scripture of the end times. I've put them up in a big list, and the Bible references, they're on the QR code for the YouVersion Bible app. If you want to scan that, you can have a look later. But we read through this list where there are wars and rumors of war, and we see it in the news. We look through and see famines, Sudan, South Sudan, in Gaza as well. There are famines taking place in our times. Pestilence, it's an old word, isn't it? A fatal epidemic disease, pestilence. We go through this list and think, oh, hang on. There's an increase in wickedness and lawlessness. There was riots last summer where I just didn't know where it would spark up next. Rise of false prophets and false Christs. Persecution of Christians, where in our world currently 380 million believers face high levels of persecution and discrimination for being followers of Jesus. These are signs of the end times, signs that we're living in the gap. Can you remember that the arrow of Jesus rising and ascending, Holy Spirit coming on God's people, and then Jesus returning? We're living in this gap. And Jesus says in Scripture different signs to say, don't be uninformed, because these are signs of things that the end will come soon. And we go through. Number 6, gospel preached to the whole world, and then the end will come. Yet at the moment, 42% of the world's population, according to the Joshua Project, which chart these kind of things, 42% of the world's population are currently deemed unreached with the gospel of Jesus. Just to include in this point 6, also Jesus says that he will not return to Jerusalem until, and this is in Matthew 23, verse 39, he will not return to Jerusalem until Jews turn to him in praise and blessing and worship of him. So these are signs pointing towards the end times. There's a great tribulation. There are signs in the heavens. Rise of the Antichrist, question mark. Or man of lawlessness. We'll cover that in July, beginning of July. There's global deception and delusion. The mark of the beast, one world government and religion, and then Jesus will return. A year ago this week, Big Ben stopped at 11 o'clock, and horses ride wild through London with blood on them. And people believed that this was a sign from God, prophetically saying, this is our 11th hour, we need to be ready. So how are you getting on with all these things? Are you an ostrich? Putting your head in the sand. It is ostriches that do that, yeah? And ignore the signs. Well, maybe you are. Because around our village, there are signs that say, road closed.
All right, let's go.
And people ignore the signs all the time. But these signs are important ones to look out for and not ignore. Paul, writing to this young church that he planted, that he started, didn't have a mobile phone to ring them up and say, hey, leader of the Thessalonian house churches, how are you getting on? He doesn't have WhatsApp. He can't send an email. So he writes a letter following after sending Timothy to see how they're doing. He asks them, how are you getting on? I've heard these things, this positive report from how you're doing. I want to encourage you. I want to speak into this situation that you're facing. I want you to know and not be uninformed. I want you to do what Jesus has instructed us to do. And these are the things about the end times. Matthew 24, verse 36, 42, and 44. We will not know the day or hour that Jesus returns. But we are instructed to keep watch and also to be ready. So this series will help us to keep watch and to be ready for when Jesus returns. And not to be like ostriches burying our head in the sand, but to be God's people, empowered by God's Spirit, to live according to God's words, to be ready. We're living ready for Jesus' return in a culture that isn't. Let's read from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. And you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it. for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. There's so much in these 10 verses. I want to help draw out some principles, some points that will help us be ready from these verses for the return of Jesus. We're living in an unstable world. And the more unstable our world seems, the more stable we as God's people should become. The more unstable our world feels, the more stable we as God's people should become. And Paul is writing to this young church saying, be ready, get ready for the return of Jesus. Live in this challenging context of persecution with endurance. It's a church that he started on his second missionary journey, and it's a church that was started in a city that was strategically located as a major trade route between Rome and Greece. And in that city, there were so many things to worship. So many things to take people's focus. Even the emperor of Rome was worshipped massively in that place. It would have been an unstable place for the Thessalonian church to live. And Paul writes to them, encouraging them and trying to get them ready. I'm going to share 10 points. They're on the YouVersion app for you to have a look at, but I'll go through them. Some of them are throughout the whole 10 verses. Some of them are specific points from specific verses. I will dwell on some for longer than others because I believe that God wants to say or bring some challenge or preparedness more on some than others. Number one, living ready for Jesus' return. Living ready during times where we see some of the signs of the end times. Living ready for Jesus' return involves knowing Jesus. Do you know him this morning? This image that we had with arrows and things, and us living in the gap between Jesus ascending and sending the Holy Spirit and then Jesus returning. It's been a long time between these two arrows. But it's a time where we need to know Jesus personally. Not just know about him, but know him deep, deep down. Know that he came and died and rose again. And know the power of the cross in our lives. And the power of his resurrection and the victory of his resurrection, the freedom, the hope, the breakthrough, the things that we spoke about last Sunday. We need to know those things in our lives. We need to know that he has ascended and he is seated at the right hand of the throne of God at present, interceding for you and for me. And that he has sent his Holy Spirit, not just on the chosen few, but on all believers, empowering them and enabling them to live for him and with him. And we need to know that he is returning. This world will increasingly become unstable. And in an unstable world, we need to be stable in God's love and care, in his identity. Deuteronomy 32 verse 4 says that God, Jesus, is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are justice. A God of truth and without injustice, righteous and upright is he. He is our rock in uncertain times. And we need to know that he has come, lived, died, resurrected, ascended, sent the Spirit, and he is returning. What will he do when he returns? He will judge the living and the dead. There will be resurrection of the dead. There will be a separation of the righteous and the unrighteous, with the righteous inheriting eternal life and the unrighteous facing eternal judgment. Jesus will wage war on those that stand against him, and ultimately he will have victory over Satan. And then he will establish the kingdom of heaven on earth for eternity. Do you know Jesus? Can you get to know him more as you get ready for his return? Number two, living ready for Jesus' return needs to be done in relationship and community. The letter starts with Paul, Silas, and Timothy. He writes to a church, a gathering of disciples, an ecclesia of disciples who are in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he refers in verse 5 and verse 6 to the Holy Spirit as well. If we're to be ready for the return of Jesus, if we're to live faithfully in an unstable and increasingly unstable world, we need to be in community with one another and with God, with God's people and with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It also points towards a really helpful fact here that leadership in this early church, as leadership should be in today's church, is community, not a single leader. Paul and Silas and Timothy are taking responsibility and love and care together for this group of disciples. They're in community and leadership as they help lead a community of disciples. And together they seek to be living in and through the community of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Spirit. We need to be living in community, to champion one another on, to be ready, to live in holiness, to walk and run with Jesus, imitating him, learning from one another as each of us seek to live for him. And that community needs to be based in prayer, not just being a social club, bunkering down until Jesus returns, but actually having a living relationship, talking with God's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Number three, living ready for Jesus' return will involve being distinguished, set apart by faith in God, hope for the future, an expectation for the future that's based in the person, presence, and power and promises of Jesus Christ, and also distinguished in love. Verse 3. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Faith, hope, and love. Faith being directed towards God, love for one another, hope towards the future, and Jesus' return. Faith leading us to works of service to God. Love serving one another, and true hope leading to endurance in God. And as we distinguish ourselves in community with faith, hope, and love, God reminds the believers in Thessalonica that they are loved and chosen by God. You need to know that you are loved and chosen by God. This isn't just a choice of following Jesus, but God has chosen you. He's chosen you to be with him. He's chosen you to live for him. He's chosen you to be holy as he is holy. He has loved you with an unquenchable, unstoppable love. Number four, living ready for Jesus' return will involve receiving and sharing the gospel of Jesus. Paul writes In verse 5, our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power and the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. And the passage goes on, we'll come on to that in a moment. Receiving the good news of Jesus. If we do not receive the good news of Jesus, we ourselves are not saved. We're not rescued, and we will end up in eternity away from God in hell. So have you turned and believed in Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Have you? Are you confident that when Christ returns, that you will stand there and say, thank you, Jesus, for coming back? Because when he returns to judge the living and the dead, and when he comes to judge us, if we have turned and believed in him, if we've accepted what he did on the cross for us, he will go, yeah, I paid for that one. My sacrifice on the cross was for that one. They've accepted that. If you are someone that hasn't received the gospel of Jesus, can I plead with you to receive it so that you are not in a lost eternity in eternal judgment? Some of us have loved ones, and we may fall into that trap of saying, they're not a follower of Jesus, but they are a good person. You know that 11th hour moment, 24th of April last year? It's a wake-up call to the church. Where we make excuses of, well, they're just a good person, surely God will let them in. God's word doesn't say that. God's word says that you need to receive the good news of Jesus. You need to turn and believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior. Even if it's that, like the criminal on the cross saying, Jesus, I recognize that you're innocent, that you are that you are the Son of God. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. In that last moment, he turns and believes, and Jesus says, today you'll be with me in paradise. We need to be people who have received the good news, but also share it, who share it with Holy Spirit power, not just with words, but with seeking the Holy Spirit to open the eyes of those that we're speaking to open the hearts of those that we're ministering to or going to. We're to have confidence and deep conviction and courage, that these two, confidence and the courage and the conviction, that comes from saying, Holy Spirit, give me courage, give me confidence, give me conviction. Not just superficial conviction, but deep conviction. Help me to be an example to the people around me, the people that I know and love, not just to preach words, but to actually allow my life to preach, for your Holy Spirit to use my witness. Number 4, living ready for Jesus' return involves receiving and sharing the gospel of Jesus. Number 5, living ready for Jesus' return will involve challenge, hardship, and suffering. Verse 3 and verse 6. Now, the Thessalonians knew the suffering that comes from following Jesus. From the outset of starting the church in Thessalonica, Paul faced suffering. The believers faced suffering and challenge. Today in the UK, we potentially have settled into a false sense of security that following Jesus doesn't involve difficulty, hardship, or suffering. Jesus said it should be expected. and we will need endurance. We will need encouragement, and we will need empowering and strengthening from the Holy Spirit to keep on going and to have joy through these challenges. It seems to me that we have more challenge, hardship, and suffering from people within the Church of God than outside of the church, because we're living for God so radically. Yes, I believe we need to grow in loving one another so that we're not causing challenge, hardship, or suffering for one another within the church. But if we're living ready for Jesus' return, it will involve us living so radically for Jesus that there is challenge, hardship, and suffering that will come as a result of it. But take heart, God's Holy Spirit will give us strength and encouragement in that time. Number six, just to speed through this, the Thessalonians and their faith and their endurance and their love for one another and their love for God's people and their generosity, it echoed out, it rang out to others. What rings out from this gathering? My heart would be that in the literal translation of Mark chapter 2, verse 1, people hear abroad that Jesus is in the house. That people hear far and wide that Jesus is in the house. That's what people were hearing about the Thessalonian church, that they had turned to Jesus. And they're holding firm in their faith in Jesus. Will you be ready for Jesus' return by echoing that Jesus is in your house, in your life, in your family, in your household, in this church gathering? Number seven, living ready for Jesus' return involves a decisive break with idols. Now, this is a massive statement, because about 80 miles away was Mount Olympus, the home of the ancient Greek gods and goddesses. And as I said earlier on, Thessalonica was filled with idol worship and emperor worship. And everyone there was either an idol worshiper or an emperor worshiper or both. And Paul comes in, and in Acts chapter 17, verse 7, they're accused of defying Caesar's decrees, saying that there is another king, one called Jesus. And that was the outrage that was caused, because the Thessalonians were turning away from idols, including the emperor, and worshiping Jesus, the true and living God. If we're to be ready for Jesus' return, it will involve a decisive break with idols. And you might think, well, I don't have a little model of something or a little carved statue of something. Ed Stetzer, the American pastor, church planter, and theologian, says, "Is it that a 12-inch tall piece of wood or bronze can do something bad to us? Or is it that we do something awful to ourselves when we place adoration and attention that should go to God in other things? When it comes to idolatry, the danger is not in an item, it is in us. When we seek after other things, when we should be seeking after God, when we place adoration and attention on other things rather than placing it on God's." So the question is not just, do you have any idols in your life? But what idols have you turned from so far? And what idols still remain? Is it your identity? Yourself? and keeping your identity or yourself and worship of yourself is the identity, is the idol for you? Is it money and consumerism? Is it entertainment? Is it sex? Is it comfort? Is it our phones? What is it for you to help you? Identify idols that may be in your life. Where do I spend my time? Where do I spend my money? Where do I get my joy or comfort? Where do I take my fears or worries? What is always on my mind? Being ready for Jesus' return will involve following the Thessalonian example and turn radically from idols. Verse 9 tells us that that's what they did. And they turned to live in active service of God and expectant waiting for his return. The proper preparation for the coming day of the Lord, the return of Jesus, is a life of service, not speculation. Should be a time of anticipation and not apprehension. It's not just on the day that Jesus returns trying to look busy, but actually devoting ourselves, everything that we are and have, we say, Jesus, I'm laying it down before you. All the other things, all the idols in my life, I'm putting them away. And I'm laying down my life before you and saying, I'm living for you. What would you have me do? Going deeper in relationship with him and going further in service of him. Knowing that he will return. And knowing that when he does return, verse 10 says, Jesus has rescued us from the coming wrath. So how are you doing? How are you getting on? We cannot do these things alone. We cannot be ready alone. Number 10, living ready for Jesus' return requires encountering and empowering and receiving empowering from the Holy Spirit. We cannot do this alone. If you have ever tried to turn from a habit that has held on to you by yourself, maybe during Lent you gave up chocolate or something. And you think, oh yeah, willpower will get me through. If we want to be ready for Jesus' return, if we want to turn from idols radically, if we want to live for Jesus radically, if we are going to go through hardship and challenge and things like that, we need God's Holy Spirit empowering us each day. When was the last time you sat and just simply said, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. And it might be that over the next few days, the next week, during a time with God, you just simply say, come, Holy Spirit. Show me an area in my life that I need to grow in readiness for your return, Jesus. Don't just think, oh yeah, there's this, this, and this, but ask God to identify things with you and then help you in them. What aspect of today's passage do you need to grow in to get ready for Jesus' return? Will you pray with me? As the band come up and lead us in some sung response, will you pray with me that we as a church will be ready And not one of us will be filled with apprehension, but will be filled with Holy Spirit expectation and anticipation. Will you pray with me that none of us will be filled with worry, but with patient waiting for Jesus to return? That we will live wholeheartedly for him and we'll be ready as he returns. Can we stand as we pray together? Jesus, we thank you that you will return one day. Forgive us for the times where we have just been blasé and thought Jesus will return someday, but that day probably won't be in my time. Thank you for the example of the Thessalonians who wholeheartedly believed that you would return in their lifetime. And that caused them to be ready and to be watchful. Help us to be like them, Lord. To be ready and watchful. Help us not to be surprised when you return or found wanting. Help us to turn from anything that stands in our way of following you wholeheartedly. Any idol in our lives. And within community, however big or small, help us to champion that in others as they champion it in us, following you. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you come. Empower your people. Bring peace. Bring hope and expectation. Bring confidence and courage and clarity. And when we share you, help us to share you, God, with power and not just with words. We pray for our loved ones and those that we just like. We even pray for those that we don't like. And we pray, God, that you will help them to receive your truth, your good news, and that they will not be lost in eternity. For your glory, Lord. Amen.